Okay, so this morning we have Lauren Dietzel from Mirror Gallery, and he's going to talk to us about his mirrors, and we can't wait to hear about it. We also have Brent, of course, here with us to help move the conversation. All right, so Lauren, why don't you tell us about Mirror Gallery and what you do and how long you've been in Houston? Or are you just in Houston? Are you in other places?
Well, actually, I want to back it up a little bit. Mirror Gallery is more than just mirrors. We do custom residential glass. We don't do any commercial glass. We don't do any auto glass. We don't do production builder work. So we deal strictly with custom builders, designers, and architects.
Oh, okay.
We've been in business since 1980. And we actually have our Houston location, which does residential glass work, and we also sell custom windows and doors. We have an Austin location that deals strictly with windows and doors. But here in Houston, we do interior residential work. Mirrors, shower doors, wine rooms, glass stair railings, shelving.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we've seen some of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's becoming pretty popular right
Very
now.
Very popular.
And we've done
balcony railings on the outdoor balconies.
Exterior, interior.
Okay.
Either or. We've done our due diligence in diving into the code, which a lot of people don't know about right now because it's something fairly new, so a lot of people aren't really hip to
it. You're talking about the residential codes?
Building codes.
Building codes.
Make sure that everything is up to snuff. We do a little bit more than most of your residential glass companies. Because we do strictly custom work, our installers and our technicians are of, in my opinion, higher caliber than most of the other glass companies in the city. We work strictly in that custom arena, which puts us in the face of designers and architects quite often. So we have a really good idea of what's current, what's doable, how to achieve those visions or those designs safely.
Mm-hmm. Like people that want to put sky vaults in their ceiling, you do that?
Well,
too?
We don't do that.
You don't do that?
We don't do that, no. Mm-hmm. We do windows and doors, which I can't really speak too much about because that's a different division of the company that I don't deal in. Mm-hmm. I deal strictly with the interior work. Mm-hmm. Flat glass, mirrors, shower doors, all the other things mentioned.
Some really cool antique glass.
Yes. Yes, antique mirror is very popular right now.
Antique mirror, sorry.
Back up just a second. What is flat glass?
Flat glass is your 1/4 inch, 3/8, 1/2 inch sheets of glass. Whether it be clear glass, mirror, pattern glass, anything like that.
And so why do you refer it as flat glass?
Because that's...
They don't do curved staircases.
Yeah, we don't do curved staircases.
Okay. Oh, I see.
I requested that one time, and he's we don't do the curved glass.
Yeah, that's a whole other
I see the difference. Okay, good. So tell us about these great antique mirrors that you do.
Well, that's become pretty popular as kind of an accent. You'll see it a lot in wet bars, you'll see it a lot in maybe a media room where it's just kind of an accent piece. That's become kind of a thing. We have several manufacturers that we can order just a myriad of different patterns and styles from. We do stock one particular pattern that we keep that we can offer at a value price and a quick lead time, but with the myriad of different types of pattern glasses or the antique patterns that there are, we just couldn't stock that. But we do offer the one, so if we have a customer that needs something, value oriented and quickly, we can do that for them.
So could you describe for us what you mean by antique mirror?
So it's going to have a distressed look. The idea is that it looks as though it's aged.
Okay. Kind of like where the mirror looks like it's peeling off almost, and, the, and it has that reflection, uh-huh. like it's that, the darks, like in a saloon. Mm-hmm.
You'll see defects and modeling in the silvering of the mirror. Give it some texture.
Isn't that interesting? We get a brand new mirror and we want to make it look old.
Absolutely.
It's like we buy jeans and cut holes
in it. Right? That's right.
What's old is what's new.
Yeah, I saw an interview with the CEO of Levi. The process that they have now is so updated to make their jeans look old.
It's crazy.
All right, so talk to us about your shower doors and some of the other things. Oh, no, not the shower, the mirrors. Because you don't do the door side, right? Or you
not exterior doors.
They do shower glass doors.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about that and what's in trend right now. And
so frameless shower doors are kind of nondescript. They're not branded. A frameless shower door is a frameless shower door. Where you benefit from Mirror Gallery as a source for a frameless shower door is the expertise that we have in the configuration and the setup to make them safe and stable, as well as the minimal amount of branding on that shower unit you could find in the hardware that's used. So the quality of hardware is important as well. I won't mention brand names in this interview, but the majority of our competitors in Houston will use brand X. I use brand Y, which is a better quality hardware, higher weight rated, on the hinges and you know, all the other clamps and things. So this equates to providing a better product for the customer that's going to be less likely to have a service issue. This hardware does cost a little bit more, but we absorb that cost because we know in the long run we're not going to have to as often go out and service an issue because we've provided a better quality product. So everybody wins. The customer gets a better product. We're not having to go out and do service issues. You know, we can get it done and walk away from it and everybody's happy.
And they are even very upfront with their design and what they will do and what they will not do. So there's been a couple houses in the past year where he says, well, you can do that, but our company won't, basically. So for instance, recently, let's talk about one of the houses where a client wanted to do, an operable pane above the door, mm-hmm. or something like that. What would happen? And then basically the configuration, it was like a 10-foot long shower.
Right.
Or wide shower, you know, to get in.
So the gist of that comment is that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because a manufacturer makes a piece of hardware does not mean that you should use it in all applications. So Mirror Gallery has always been careful about over-engineering, and we're okay with that because we would rather over-engineer and not have an issue in the future with a failure. Going back to that over-engineering, like Brent was talking about, you know, when we send a quote over for a job, along with it, we're going to send a drawing to not only let Brent know what the shower is going to look like, but he can show that to his homeowner as well, so they have a very good idea of the configuration and the setup of that shower. So there's no surprises for anybody. Mm-hmm. And along with that, we'll go back just a little bit. You know, we talked about the history of Mirror Gallery. I'll briefly want to talk about my history in the glass business. I've been in the glass business for over 25 years, and that has gone from cradle to grave. I've done measuring, fabrication, installation, sales, quoting. I've done the whole thing. So when I go look at a job and I speak with a designer, like Brent's talking about, the designer may have a great idea on paper.
A picture.
But having intimate mechanical knowledge how these things need to be set up, I can tell the designer, okay, no, that's not going to work, but here's option B that's going to be mechanically sound mm-hmm. and safe and still achieve the vision or the idea that you want. So having that knowledge in my back pocket means that I can be the liaison between that designer and my installer or my fabricator and make sure that I get a nice blend of what's going to be beneficial for both parties.
And when you say designer, are you talking about like an interior designer or an architect, or what do you mean by designer?
Interior designer, decorator.
Okay.
Yes, a lot of times I will deal with architects as well. Sometimes something's drawn on plans that's just not going to work in the real world. And then it's my job to kind of navigate those waters and figure out where we can be flexible and where we can make concessions to achieve what we need for both parties.
Okay, so it sounds like you're kind of an expert in this field.
Been doing it a long time.
He's the expert, for
he's
sure.
He's the expert. So tell us where a little bit about the industry and where you think it's going, and you know what homeowners should be looking for. I mean, since you're the expert, we have you sitting here.
Or the process.
And I'd like to touch on that too, as far as you know the homeowner's perspective on the process. We can get that in a minute. But you're talking about, you know, where is the industry going? I'm
talking about the glass.
Ours is pretty, pretty steady. We do what we do. We try and latch on to new things when we see them. You know, oftentimes that's brought to us maybe by a designer or an architect or something like that, and they want to do something different. You know, so we kind of like to think outside the box. And
okay, so give us an example on something new, like for safety or for design, or
how about putting a light behind a glass?
Safety always is a concern, of course.
Because all of the shower glass, it always has to be tempered.
Yes, absolutely. By code, anything in a shower area or wet area has to be safety rated. And the trend is with the frameless showers. So it's usually going to be 3/8 or 1/2 inch monolithic tempered glass. So it's all to code. We make sure that we use the appropriate hardware and everything's stable and secure. As far as design, I mean, that's ever changing. I guess I really don't know how to answer that question.
It seems like a lot of people are using more glass inside their homes too. I mean, as separations from room to room, or heavily used indoors kind of designed glass.
This is true. There is a trend towards more contemporary style building right now, and that does lend itself to more glass. Going back to talking about handrails, you see a lot of interior handrails around stairs or balconies, or sometimes partitions between rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You do see that quite a bit more.
So on mirrors, along with the antique ones that you do, tell us a little bit more about the other kind of mirrors that you do.
Well, you can go plain Jane basic to, whatever you can dream up. Brent mentioned backlit mirrors. But you could go plain Jane quarter inch mirror on a wall over a vanity. It's about as plain as you can get. Or we do decorative frame mirrors as well that we will custom size for the job, fabricate in-house, and do installation, so it's turnkey.
They cut the holes like where the light fixtures go on the wall.
Yeah, you can bring electrical components through mirrors, so you can extend your mirror to the ceiling, but still have, your illumination there over, say, a vanity, so that you can, still have everything that you need right there.
And mirrors oftentimes can make a room look twice as big as it
Absolutely. I may very well be more old school because I'm favoring larger pieces of mirror in a room simply for that reason. You get the sense that the room is larger. I have noticed in the past several years, though, that there's a trend to doing more more decorative single mirrors over vanities.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that has to do more with the design and the lighting involved as well.
When you say decorative, you mean the glass is decorated, like etched or something like that on the mirror? Or are you talking about the borders around it or what?
Well, you're talking about either edge treatment, like a bevel, mm-hmm. like a bevel on the mirror, or a decorative wood frame.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty popular, so we do quite a bit of that.
And beveling, I mean, that's the right word, right? Beveling?
Correct.
Yeah. So, and that's really spectacular. I mean, done right, that can look modern, that can look old school.
What it does is it takes that piece of glass, because mirror is mirror is mirror. If you take a piece of quarter-inch mirror and cut it to size and stick it up on the wall, it's pretty nondescript.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want subtle, and that's fine. Sometimes you want something, you know, really outstanding. So a nice decorative frame would work for that. But when you're kind of in the middle, a bevel is a nice option because it's a subtle definition of that space. It lets the mirror define its own perimeter. So it's kind of a subtle way to finish it off with that edge work.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the fewer glass companies in town that do our own in-house inline beveling.
Mm.
So we can offer that at a better price for our customers, and we can also give a quicker lead time on that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you do any of your own manufacturing. This is more of a design element, but do you do your own manufacturing, or do you get all of your glass and mirrors from other companies?
So we do as much of the fabrication that we can. There are certain things that we cannot do, and that's tempering. So on your shower doors, we do have to order that out. And we use several different sources around town, so we're not really putting all our eggs in one basket. So we can get our material as quickly as we can and try and keep our timeline moving.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
But we cut all of our own mirrors in-house, all of our annealed glass, whether it be desktops or shelving or cabinet
desktops.
Glass.
Desktops?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. Tell us about that.
Desktops?
Yeah.
Well, so...
You're talking like an office or a kitchen or something like that?
Most of the time what you're looking at is quarter-inch glass that people are using just for desk toppers, you know, to put on a wood desk to keep it from getting scratched and damaged.
Oh, I see.
We also do heavy glass tops that would be freestanding. You could, you know, like for instance, a dining table. You can do. I've done several bathroom vanities. So instead of marble or granite or whatever, you can use half-inch back painted glass. And provide a different effect. You know, maybe you wanted to do something ultra modern, ultra contemporary, and you wanted to light the underneath of that vanity,
mm-hmm,
underneath your basin or your bowl. So you would use a piece of half inch tempered glass that would have all the appropriate cutouts to receive the plumbing, and stand it off of your cabinets, and do LED lighting underneath it to provide a really cool effect. We've done that.
And that's what Brett was referring to earlier. Yeah, mm-hmm. Have the lighting underneath it.
We
yeah.
do that a lot with mirrors too, mm-hmm. where people will have a mirror stand off of a wall, usually in a bathroom vanity.
It's like a floating mirror, basically.
Yeah, so it gives the effect that the mirror is floating off the wall. You don't see
like
any
an inch or two.
Yeah, you don't see any mechanical fasteners, and then the mirror is backlit. So the mirror is just floating, visually it's just floating on the wall, and it's backlit from behind. That provides a pretty neat look too.
So do you have a showroom in Houston where people can come and see all these things?
Absolutely. We are at 9600 Grant Road, mm-hmm. Up in the Willowbrook area. And I recommend that all of my homeowners, designers, architects, builders, at least at some point visit our showroom. We put a lot of time, effort, and money into displaying our product in the showroom, and we really feel like it's a great tool not only for us but for our builders and designers too, to be able to bring homeowners in and have them really see, touch, and feel what they're going to be getting.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to a question that Brent asked a minute ago about the process. So at what point do you bring the various groups into the showroom? Early on, so that they know what's available, or later on once they start to talk to you about what they want?
Earlier on is better, because mm-hmm. that provides Brent with the clues as to what he needs to do as far as framing out showers or how sheetrock needs to be for the end result of what we're going to do. Being a finished trade, we're one of the last trades in the house. So everyone before us...
Oh, that's an interesting point. So you call it a finished trade. So right. You wait till everybody else is done and then you get to come in.
Right. So we're the guy... Okay. We're the guy
stuck with the problems.
Yes. We're the guy at the end that needs to think outside of the box to come up with resolution in time to make... closing date, so
and,
it makes it
and
interesting.
Not mess up anybody else's work.
And not
too.
Mess up anybody else's work.
So one of the biggest problems that, luckily we don't have a major issue in our houses, but if the tile is not plumb, that's a big problem, because just imagine them trying to cut a piece of glass that's going to be crooked. Say, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen some that's like an inch out of plumb, maybe.
Oh, I've seen some doozies, yes. But you bring up a good point, and I want to answer your question about going back to the process, because I mm-hmm. think that's important yep. for a homeowner to know.
Yes.
But this is also important, too, since he brought it up. There are a lot of ways that certain glass companies will try and cut corners on fabrication to either maximize their profit margin or try and get their price as low as they can, which is fine if you like McDonald's, you know. But what Brent was talking about, say we have a piece of glass that's going to die into a wall, and that wall is out of plumb half an inch within the height of that glass. We're going to cut the glass to match the wall so that you have a nice even reveal where the glass meets the wall. A lot of glass companies, because it's cheaper, would have that glass fabricated square. So now your reveal is out half an inch.
Yes.
And they like to put a nice, big, yucky caulk joint right down the side. So, yeah, maybe they did it cheaper.
A squishy caulk joint.
Yeah.
Clear, squishy joint.
Maybe they did it cheaper, but the absolute truth is it looks like they did it cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And it's going to be there a really long time.
Yes. So, and Brent will tell you, because he's seen me on... jobs measuring, I get very detailed with my measurements. We're very exacting in our measurements, our details. We not only get specific dimensions on finished openings, we take into account the out of squares for the reason that we just discussed, so that we can give the best fit and finish of the final product. So it looks perfect.
They have to know the exact location of the light fixtures on the wall, so they know exactly where to cut the hole. I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah,
and I think also I applaud you on this, what you're saying, because as you know, as a person that lives in a house and when the work has already been done, it's like you notice those imperfections every day, all day. It's like the thing that sticks out. Yeah, so that's great.
Like, have you ever walked into a house and you saw the mirror that looks kind of wavy?
Yeah.
A funhouse mirror?
Yeah.
That's because the framing on the wall has crooked studs, wood studs, so it's, like, really wavy. So it's that, you'll see that in remodels a lot,
that,
too.
That could very well be the case. Glass is manufactured, though, to be, you know, going back to talking about flat glass, the way it's manufactured, it's perfectly flat. Otherwise, you would get distortion in the image mm-hmm. of the mirror. So if you see a mirror that's wavy, it is either thinner mirror, so it's inferior mirror to what we use. And with thinner mirror, you get more distortion. So we do use quarter-inch mirror, which is the thickest that's available, which most glass companies in town use. But yeah, if you see something like that, there's definitely something else going on. But we're trying to, you know, what Brent's getting at is we try to take into account, you know, all the inconsistencies in the area that we're going to be installing our product and make the necessary concessions so that our product looks as it should.
Right, because they're not going to go back and fix the wall at that point if it's yeah. not yeah.
We,
exactly.
In some instances you have to, but you know, we try and do the best that we can to work with what we're doing. Yeah.
So I've got a quick question on the building science aspect. Are you guys having any issues where builders are putting mirrors on exterior walls and then on the back side of the mirror they're getting mold buildup?
I have seen that.
How do you guys avoid that?
What I've got a lot of the builders that I work with will do, if they're putting mirror on an exterior wall, they will go ahead, they'll either do a hanging mirror, because the idea is that you have some void behind the mirror to provide circulation of air. So they'll either use a framed mirror, which is not actually glue applied to the wall. So that provides you some air behind there. They will extend the width of the backsplash to give a little more room, and they'll lath the wall with, you know, quarter inch plywood or whatever, and strips in certain areas where we can still, you know, do a glue applied mirror. But it'll allow you to have that circulation behind the mirror. Or smaller mirrors, so they're not covering the entire wall. So things like that. The idea is you're just keeping, you're not covering up that entire space.
Yeah, so we actually do that same process where we fur the back side of walls when we're doing wallpaper, so that the back of the wall breathes. And the same thing with mirrors. It's... with the variable speed air conditioning system, it's super important to know that detail when mm-hmm. you're putting mirrors on exterior walls. And a lot of builders don't know. A lot of homeowners don't know.
You mean, just to be clear, that there needs to be a space between the mirror or the wallpaper or whatever to keep the mold from building up back there?
You've got the mirror facing the interior of the home, which has been air conditioned to 70 degrees.
Yeah.
You have an exterior wall that's absorbing that heat from a nice summer day in Houston, Texas. So you've got this warm surface and this cold surface, and then in between you're getting the condensation.
Which is the mold.
Yeah, right. So when you get that condensation yeah. and that moisture buildup and no way to air out, and that moisture just sits there, then you begin to get the mold and the mildew. And then, worst case scenario, it goes long enough that the moisture will actually begin to deteriorate the silvering on the mirror. And now you have an antique mirror.
And a wall that's not so good, right?
Yeah.
But there's ways just to screen it, vent it, so you leave yeah. a gap at the top of the sheetrock and at the bottom of the sheetrock and let that wall breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So this is something that's new in building science to be able to think about that and do this, or what?
It's because of the technology in the home construction, yes. There's ways around doing it, so you can do continuous insulation on the outside of your home where you don't necessarily have to do it, because then you have that thermal break on the outside of your exterior mm-hmm. sheathing that you don't have to concentrate on using water-based paints, you know. Wallpaper. You don't have to worry about wallpaper. You don't have to worry about mirrors as much. So there's a thought that needs to go on. when you're building houses, you know, and that kind of stuff. So.
So going back to the process again, so when Brent comes to you with a set of plans from an architect, from a potential client, or even an established client, so you're looking at those plans and you're looking at where people think they want to have mirrors, or is that like a whole different, like that structure, and then once they see all, the client sees all of that done, then they start thinking about where the mirrors go? Or
when
is
when I get a set of plans, so we're roughing out the idea here. So when I get a set of plans, I get a basic idea of what it is we need to do. And it that kind of gives me an idea of the direction that I need to go.
But how? So the set of plans is more of a structural set of plans. So you said you deal with the interior designers. So how do you know, just because of your expertise, you know, they probably want to have a mirror over the vanity, or they're probably going to want to have this or that?
So we could answer that question in two directions. One is understanding that I'm getting rough approximate sizes on these plans to provide a good enough information to provide a quote on the job being done. And then I'm still needing later on, after we've gotten to that point, I go back and do field measurements
to revise the proposal
specifically.
Yeah.
But in the interim of those two time periods, a designer or a homeowner, whoever is going to get involved, and we're going to pin down the finer points of what it is we want to do.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a lot of questions such as, what type of hardware are you using? Are you putting bathrobe hooks on the shower glass? All that stuff adds money and labor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can add a lot of bells and whistles. The idea is that all of that is, as much of that is figured out early on, and then if we have to tweak a little bit later, we can. But for me, early on, it's a matter of just giving a general idea of what the scope of the work is going to be and what's going to be involved. Then, when we get to an actual job site walk or field measure, is when we nail down the finer points of, do we want to add a rope hook? Do we want to add an upgrade handle? Do we want to add, a shower guard to the shower? You know, do we want to do that? So things like that. Having a designer that's familiar with you and has worked with you makes that a lot easier. What I will very often do is, if I've got a set of plans and the homeowner's really involved, I always welcome them to come into the showroom, take a look, and see what they want to do, and we can talk about it right then and there, so we can get an even better idea of where we're going to go with this. But it all boils down to the 11th hour.
Yes, I would think so, because you're the finishing guy.
Yeah, so it all boils down to
that. You got to make it look great.
Because between the time that homeowner has the plans to when I'm installing, or when I'm measuring to install, so many things can change, you know. So we nail it down later.
Yeah, and I would think that would be an important part of your process, Brent, too, is having to come back around at the 11th hour. Okay, Kate, let's talk and see what we need to upgrade here or change. Yeah.
Now, fortunately, with what I do, we're able to, from field measure to install, we will typically have a 2 to 3 week turnaround at the longest. So these are not decisions that need to be made 6 months in advance.
In advance, yeah.
So we can kind of be on the fly like that. It works out a little bit better, because, again, once people start getting things fleshed out, and then they start seeing
that's when they change their mind.
Oh, well, I'm thinking, going back to, what Brent mentioned, I'm thinking I want a rope hook here. mm-hmm. the shower, so I have somewhere to hang my towel or my robe. Or they've been doing their research and they find out what shower guard is and they decide, you know, oh, hey, I do want shower guard glass in my shower, you know. These are things that kind of get left towards the end.
Or finding out that something's not exactly lined up properly and then going, well, we need to shove. I'd rather shove that idea than have you do something, you know, to
so
fix it.
Almost everything we do as a custom glass company is going to be tight fit. So our fabrication dimensions go down to the 16th of the inch. So it's not something where, you know, I'm going to do this certain size refrigerator. And you can go ahead and order that refrigerator, you know, 6 months in advance, and you know it's going to take a while to ship, and you can pick the shipping date, and when it gets there, you just plug it in and roll it into a spot, and you're fine. What we do is a little bit different. So everything truly is custom fabrication. There is not a single shower that I've installed in this city
that would
specifically fit any other location in the city. It is custom fabricated for that opening only. And for that reason, it's imperative that granite and tile or marble be completed 100% before I measure from my glass. Glass is tricky to work with. It's not like wood where you can just, you know, shave off a little bit here and there, or oops, I messed up and now I got to cut an inch off. Can't do that. Tempered glass, once it's been tempered, it can't be cut, it can't be drilled, it can't be reshaped. It is what it is. So it's a one-shot deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an expensive mistake.
So we want to make sure we get it right the first time. So that's why
it's... lots of questions. That's why we want to know up front with our clients before we even start building a house that we have these answers. But it's so hard to get clients to think that far in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't really start thinking about what the interior is going to look like until they get closer to the end. And then they start seeing everything
coming together.
They see everything coming to fruition. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's when they start getting into the Pinterest and they start getting into the Southern Living magazines. And they start, oh, well, I want to do that.
Yep.
Well,
can't add that rope hook on the glass anymore. You got to put it on the sheetrock.
Yeah, you need to know that earlier in advance. So going back to the showroom, it is an excellent tool to have our homeowners and designers come in and make those decisions early on if possible, so that when we do get to that 11th hour, we already know what we need to do. We make sure everybody gets what they want.
So how big is your operation in Houston? Is it small or medium size? Or, I mean, how many houses can you cover at one time without making people wait?
Well, there's myself and our other salesman, and we go out and we're meeting with customers and clients and measuring jobs every day. You know, go. We run 4 crews, and every one of those guys is very well versed in their craft. We're a fair size operation. Although we are family owned, we have grown since 1980. I think I couldn't even tell you the square footage, but you know, fair size building and showroom, fabrication facility, warehouse. We run the window and door side out of that same warehouse.
How many people in a single crew?
2 to 3.
2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying earlier that because your business is so specialized down to the 16th of an inch, how do you ensure that the people that you employ in these crews have the qualifications to be able to do this kind of work?
That's a good question. The fellows that we have working for us have been with us for a long time. We don't have a lot of turnover. We've got guys in our shop and on our crews that have been with the company 25, 27 years. We were pretty close knit.
27 years?
Yeah. But these and some younger, but, you know, these guys, this is what they do all day, every day. They are the experts at installation. You know, they're very good at troubleshooting.
That's impressive.
It has a lot to do with, you know, the whole process. If I don't do my job right, they can't do theirs.
Right.
So, and, you know, it's very important that...
And Brent.
Correct. And it's very important that, you know, I get all the correct measurements and all the out-of-plumbs and out-of-levels and out-of-squares and all that information that I need to translate to fabrication so that those pieces can get produced and then they go out to install. The idea is when, you know, our technicians go out to install, they're basically putting together a big jigsaw puzzle.
So you actually do a lot more than sales.
Correct.
You do, like, specification for the whole job.
I'm intimately involved with every job. I will meet with the builder, the homeowner, the designer, day one. And we will walk the job. I say day one. By the time I'm entered in the field. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done, months prior to that, I've done takeoffs on plans. We've had some conversation on things that we want to do. But when it comes time to a field walk, I'm there from the walk to the measure. Our guys will come out after we've fabricated. Our guys will come out and do the installation. And very often, post-installation, I'll do a quick walkthrough for, you know, QC. And make sure that everything is as it should be and as it was spec'd, as it was sold. You know, it's my job. I sold it. I want to make sure everything's correct and the customer got what they wanted. So I'm involved in the job all the way through.
So how do you two deal with problems that occur since we're at the finishing stage?
Mm-hmm. When was the last time we had an issue with a mirror that we installed? Or I don't...
We don't have a lot of problems. The idea is that we figure that out ahead of time. And if concessions or allowances need to be made, well, then we'll do that. If we run across, and I don't like to call it a problem, but if we come across an issue, well, then we do our best to try and figure out a solution. Because in this business, there's no problems. There's only solutions, right? Construction is not a perfect science. There's going to be something that is going to be a little hiccup or a speed bump here and there. And it's how you address that and how you work around it and make it work and make it work in your favor.
And a lot of that's attitude. Yeah, and a lot of that's attitude.
And
right?
As long as you have the right framer, the right sheetrocker, the right tile guys, then there shouldn't be huge mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making sure that you grout the tile before they put the shower glass on. Because if not, you've got gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very important. Glass.
That's very important.
Those just the little tricks. But they also do, I'm going to kind of go into another thing. One last thing is cabinet glass. I don't think we've talked about that. And they do all kinds of cabinet glass, beaded glass, antique glass, rain glass, clear glass, in the upper mainly upper cabinets of kitchens and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's another option.
We're seeing majority of clear glass. What we're seeing the trend right now in the past couple years is that people are taking their kitchen cabinets all the way to the ceiling. And when they do that, obviously that space that high up is not going to be an everyday used space. You're not going to put plates 10 foot high. So those areas now become display areas. So they're generally top lit with LED lighting or puck lights or something like that. And you're displaying something, a vase, a decorative plate, whatever. So majority of what we're doing in those situations is clear glass because you don't want anything to obstruct the view of what you're trying to display, right? But we do pattern glasses as well. So if you want something with a little texture, a little different feel to it, we do, I would say, couple dozen plus different types of patterns that we can do, and you know, probably hundreds of different patterns that we could source. So if you want to give your cabinets a little different character, we can do that too. We have quite a few different patterns on display in our showroom that people can see.
Do you have requests for colored glass ever?
No. On the rare occasion, if somebody's looking for something really ornate or decorative, they're generally looking for stained or leaded glass. That we do not do, but I do have a source that I work with if a customer wants to go that route.
Oh, okay.
I do have a source that I can get those pieces made, and then I can have my company install them.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate the time and the contribution. Do you have anything else you want to add before we finish up?
No, I think we
covered it all.
Can we follow you guys on social media or your website?
Definitely our website, mirrorgallery.com. We don't have a Facebook page, I don't think.
Not yet.
I honestly don't know.
Be in charge of the new Facebook page.
I bet I could.
Any wrap up, Brent?
Yeah, it's always you can go and listen to more interviews on our website at www.texasmb.com, and then you can also check out and like our pages on social media, like Instagram and Facebook, and follow our stories on both of those platforms, and you can see what we're doing on a daily basis. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye.